Today, Shiz Masechta Chagiga, Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amud Bey, six lines from the bottom. In our shir yesterday, in the Mishnah that we had learned in the previous shir, the Mishnah had taught us that there were certain subjects in halacha which were kahar horim tloyim basara, very difficult halachas to understand that don't really have any explicit basis in the Torah. And one of those halachas, the Mishnah said, was the category of mi'ila. And our Gemara in our previous shir had attempted to identify what aspect of Hilchas mi'ila are not explicit in the Torah that we need to identify. And the Gemara made a number of attempts, which each one had been refuted. So Gemara says, Elam Rav Ashi lo nitzrachah. The halach in Hilchas Me'ila, which is the halachas which are tluyim b'sara, el chetanan. What we learned in the Mishnah in Masechta the Mila, daf yud tes amibayis. The Mishnah teaches us not to even a kairish l'hagdish. If somebody took a stone or a beam that belongs to Hagdish, hareza loymal. If the person took it himself, the Mila has not been violated. However, nosel chaver, if it was given to somebody else, who mal, the person who transferred this stone or beam that belonged to Hegdish violated Mi'ila, v'chaveira, but the person who received it, loymal, has not violated the Isser of Mi'ila. And the question is, michti, the person who took it, mishkel shakla, took this object that belongs to Hegdish, mali hu, mali chaveiroi, what should be a difference if he didn't, If one does Mila, then the other one should have been considered doing Mila. And if not, it's not Mila. Why is there a difference between him and the receiver? And that's what the Gemara says, is what our Mishnah meant when it said that Hilchas Mila are Hainu Karam Tului Basara. And the Pasha Pshat is that the person who gave it transferred it out of Hegdish, the person who received it, it's not Hegdish anymore. Says the Ramai Kusha, why is this such a difficult halacha to understand? Dilma, maybe the way to understand the halacha is Shmuel. Shmuel explained it. Dama Shmuel. Shmuel explained that that halacha is referring to a situation. But Gizbar Hamasuras Loi Avnei Binyan Askinan. That the individual we are talking about is the person who is in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. He is the administrator. To call Hecha the Muncha Brishisu the Day Mincha. Wherever it is, it's as if it's still under his control. And therefore, whether it's in the Hegdish's territory, whether he took it, it's still considered belonging to Hegdish. And therefore, he has not done anything by transferring it out of Hegdish. Until he transfers it out of Hegdish, there is no Mi'ila. However, when he gives it over to somebody else, that transfer of this from one person to the other person, that is considered an act of Mila. So why is this so difficult to understand? It says the Gemara, you're right. That halacha for itself is not difficult to understand. What is the Chiddush, what's the Harorim Tlui B'Saira, is Misefa. What's taught at the end of that Mishnah. The Mishnah over there continues teaching us, if you put the beam or the stone in your home, it's not considered you violated Mi'ila. Until you benefited from it, the value of a pruta. And as the Rishonim explain, there are two ways to do Mi'ila. One is by transferring something that's Hegdish out of the property of Hegdish, and one is by benefiting from something that belongs to Hegdish. So in this case, he hasn't transferred anything out of Hegdish because he's the administrator, and wherever it is, it still belongs to Hegdish. Says the Gemara, therefore the Gemara says, you only do Mi'ila when you are under that property. But ask the Gemara, why is that the halacha? Michti, shnuye shanye. As soon as you built it into your home, then you've already done something to the Hekdesh. So if you've done something to the Hekdesh, you violated Mila B'Hekdesh. So what's the difference, Mali Dor or Mali Loidor? Why does the Mishnah say we need to wait until you benefited from that being the value of a pruta? And that's what the Gemara says. That's what makes this halacha so unique. Says the Gemara, my kusha. Why is it so difficult? Dilma, look at the Rav. The way to understand that Mishnah is the way Rav explained it. Dilma Rav, kigoyin shenicha pi aruba. You have a hole in your house, and you just put that beam or that stone to close up the hole. So you didn't do anything to the beam. The beam, the stone, are as they were. So therefore, since you did not actually do anything to this object that belongs to Hekdesh, that isn't considered that you did an act of Mila. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Idar Bein, when you've benefited by being under the beam, under the stone, a Shava Pruta, then you have violated Mila. Loi Dabei, but if you haven't benefited, Loi, there is no Mila here. So again, why would we say that that's Kahararim Tulim B'Svara? Says the Gemara Al-Oilam, we have to go back to what we said in the previous year. Kedarava, like Rev said, that somebody has Hekdesh money, and he made a mistake, and he forgot that that's Hekdesh money, and he gave it b'shogig to a shliach to buy something with that money. So we learned in the previous year that if, while the shliach is going to buy that object, the owner remembers, oh, the money I gave him is Hekdesh money. So the owner now knows that that was Hekdesh money and, of course, should not be used for private purposes. But the shliach is not aware of it. So the halach is that at that point, even though the shliach, what he's doing, is he's only doing it under the directive of the owner, at that point, when the owner realizes that it's Hekdesh, so he said two pshatim. One pshat is that he terminates the shlichus. Yes, we learned in the previous year that there's a halacha by Mi'ila that if the shliach does the Mi'ila, the owner is the one that gave him the directive is the mashaleach, is Mayel. But that's when we have a mashaleach and a shliach. But the moment the mashaleach recognizes that what he had given him is Hekdesh, he terminates the shlichus because he doesn't want to violate the Isser Mila. So it turns out that at that moment, everything changed. And at that moment, the shliach is not considered a shliach anymore. And since the shliach is not considered a shliach anymore, he's considered, at that point, the shliach is considered the individual who did the Isser Mila and not the shliach. Another pshat that we quoted in our previous year to understand this halacha is that the halacha teaches us that when you have that heg mila is only done, the halacha mila is only b'shogig. But the moment that the mishaleach is aware that this object is hegdish, he's no longer a shogig. He's amazed. So therefore, the halachas change and now becomes the shliach who is the mayel. And when we learned this Gemara, the Kakashlich, we asked, "Midah have a moitzi masa hegdish lechulin that somebody uses something that's hegdish for chulin, even though he didn't know his chayv mila." Says the Gemara. So the fact that somebody doesn't know and his chayv for mila is not a unique halacha. Why are we saying that this is how that it's kararim tulim basara? Says the Gemara, the situation is not the same. If somebody has Hekdesh money in his possession, he is supposed to be careful to make sure that Hekdesh money is treated like Hekdesh money and not used for any other purpose. And therefore, it's a different type of a situation versus a shliach who is given money by the mishaleach, who has no way of knowing and no way of assuming, and no way of thinking that what he got is Hekdesh. And therefore, we would say it's different. Hossam, in the normal case of Me'ila, made the Yedei Dika Zuzi the Hegdish. He's aware that he has Hegdish money in his possession. And therefore, he should have made sure that the money he's using is not that Hegdish money. Hocha, by the Shliach, that was given money by the Balabayas, and then the Balabayas realized that it was Hegdish money that he gave him. Mi yada, did the Shliach know what's happening here? That he should be held responsible? And says the Gemara, that's what was meant in the Mishnah, Hainu kahararim atlui misara. We learned in the Mishnah, the Hilchos Shabbos, Chagigas Me'ilas, Harhorim HaTluim B'Sara, and the Mishnah went on to say, there's Mikra Mu'at V'Alochas Merubas. There's not much Pasuk describing these halachas, but there are many halachas. Tana, Negoim, when we speak about Negoim, the having Tzuras, Olois, Mikra Mu'at V'Alochas Merubas. Ask the Gemara, Negoim, Mikra Mu'at, why would you suggest that Negoim don't have many psukim? Negoim, Mikra Merubahu, open up a chumash, and there's many psukim that describe all the halachas of Negoim. Says the Ma'amra, Papa Hakam, and Negoim, Mikra Ruba, there's much pasik, v'alochas ma'atis, but there aren't many halachas in Hilchis Negoim. Alois, Mikra Mu'at, halachas Merubas. Says the Gemara, my nafkamina, and what is the purpose of making all of these categories? Says the Gemara, nafkamina is imstab klam milsa ben negoim. If you have a question in Hilchas Negoim, then the aloch is a unibikra. Just open up a chumash and you'll be able to see the answer. Imstab klam milsa ben alois, but when you have a question in Hilchas alois, whereas we're learning there are not much pasuk, you have to open up a Mishnah to get what the halacha will be. We learned in the Mishnah Dinei Mamonos, civil law, they have what to rely on for what it says in the Pasuk. So the Mishnah said, Yesh la mamash yismuchu. But it seems what the Mishnah is saying, that there you could rely on the Pasuk, but the Pasuk is not explicit. Ask the Gemara, which halacha in Hilchos Negoim is not explicit. Michtav Ksivin, the halachas of civil law, is well described in Parshas Mishpatim. Says the Gemara, Leinitzuch Halacha the Rebbe. The halacha that we need to learn is what Rebbe taught us. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer. The Pasuk says, V'chiyinatzu anoshim. If two men are fighting, V'nokta isha hara, and they harm a pregnant woman, V'yotzlo yoda, and they cause her to miscarry, but if the woman doesn't die, so as we said, where two people are in a battle, and one is trying to hurt, even kill the other one, and instead of hurting each other, they harmed a pregnant woman. So first the pasuk says, if the woman did not die because of that, she just miscarried, the pasuk says we have to pay to the owner the value of those children. There's a machloikus in the Gemara Masechta Bava Kamma how we evaluate the value of the children. Is it that we evaluate what is the value of a pregnant woman versus the value of a woman who's not pregnant? Or do we assess how much these children were, if we were to sell them as slaves, what are they, this child that was miscarried, if we were to sell him as a slave, what is his value? And then the Pasuk says, what happens if the woman died because of this? The Pasuk says, for nosato nefesh tachas nefesh, to which Rebbe says, nefesh tachas nefesh means mammon. We give the value of the woman. At the oimer mammon, doesn't mean that we pay the value of the woman to her yorshim, or ein el nefesh mamish. Maybe what the pasuk is saying is that since they killed, this woman was killed, the person who murdered her should also be killed. Nemra, says the Rebbe, Nemra nesina lamata, the pasuk says, nesata nefesh takas nefesh, v'nena nesina lamala. But the pasuk also, when the woman miscarried, used the word nesina, as the pasuk said, v'nosim b'flilim. And as we just explained, malahalon, when we speak about the babies that were miscarried. We said, what does that mean that the perpetrator has to pay? He pays mammon, he pays money. Afkan, when the woman was killed, it's mammon. We pay the value. Why is this murderer not killed, as is normally the halacha when somebody kills the rishchayv misa? And the answer is, because niskaven l'harig zeh, for harig zeh, if somebody intended to kill one person, for harig zeh, and he killed another individual, that is not considered a case of ritzicha, and that's why there's no chiv mammon, there's only a chiv to pay. And this is halacha that we're learning not explicitly in the Torah. It was Rebbe, as we just explained, who taught us this halacha, and that's what the Mishnah meant when it said, ayin tachas ayin. And actually, the Rishonim go on to say that now that we're explaining that even though the Torah here uses the word nefesh tachas nefesh, it doesn't mean that we actually killed the murderer. So too, when the Torah speaks about somebody harming somebody else, ayin tachas ayin, he's hurting, he wounds his eye, shein tachas shein, he wounds his tooth, it doesn't mean that we actually extract the eye of somebody who blinded someone else, or we extract the tooth of someone who caused somebody else's tooth to be knocked out. And in those cases also, the definition is mammon. The Mishnah continued to say, avoidus, the locha of kabonis, yesh lehem amashi yismachu, there is a pasuk. But again, there's a remez in the pasuk. So again, ask the Gemara, the locha of kabonis, michtiv chsivin, are explicit in the Torah. What is the Mishnah mean with this? Answers the Gemara, lo nitzucha el locha stam. One of the avoid of the carbon, when we speak about the avoid of a carbon, we first do shchita, and then we take that keli, then we do kabbalah, we receive the blood from the neck of the animal in the keli sharis, then we take it, that's called kabbalah, then we do halacha, taking it to the mizbeach, and then we do zrikas adam. And the Mishnah is teaching us that halachas adam to the mizbeach is also considered one of the critical avoidus. And Rashi teaches us that this is relevant to many important halachas. What is that we know that if somebody has a machsheves, chutz l'zman, chutz l'mokum, if somebody has in mind that he's going to eat the carbon or do the avoid on the carbon in the wrong time, chutz l'mokum, if somebody has in mind that he's going to do it in the wrong place, the carbon becomes pigel. But a carbon can only become pigel if you have that machshava during one of the primary avoiders of the carbon. We're learning here that halacha is considered an avoider of a carbon where it can become pigel. Another halacha, that if a carbon, that the avoider in the carbon is done by a zor, becomes pasul. If halacha was done by the zor, the carbon becomes pasul. Another halacha, that the kayin, as we just said, is the only one who may do the avoid on a carbon. But when the kohen is doing the avoid, he must be wearing the big day kahuna. The kohen has to do the halacha, and he has to be wearing big day kahuna when he does the avoid. Another halacha is that the kohen, when he's a einan, is not allowed to do the avoid. He's not allowed to do halacha when he's an einan. Another halacha is that all the avoid of a carbon must be done where the kohen is standing. If a kohen is sitting, that avoider becomes disqualified. Halacha must be done as the kohen is standing, not sitting. Another halacha is that a kohen who's an oral is not allowed to do the avoider. And included in that is that a kohen who's an oral is not allowed to do the halacha. Says the Gemara, that's what our Mishnah meant to teach us, lo nitzucha el halachas adam, that halachas adam is considered a full-fledged avoida with all the nafkaminis that we just said. The Tanya, the pasuk as it describes the procedure of the carbon oila, says v'shachres ben abok l'fnei Hashem v'krivoy m'nei arna kahanim sadam v'zokru sadam al mizbeach, and we explain v'krivoy zukabal sadam. So Rashi explains that even though the word hekrivoy really ought to mean halacha, hekrivoy means that you bring it to the mizbeach, it really means kabbalah. Why? So as Tosfos explains, because Kabbalah is always absolutely necessary to be done by every carbon. Halacha, even though, as we just explained, that halacha is an avodah in the carbon, but it's not always absolutely necessary to be done. Because if you're going to shech the carbon and do the Kabbalah on the carbon, Kabbalah Sadam on the carbon, right next to Mizbeach, that carbon will not require halacha. So we say that this pasuk is talking about Kabbalah, which is absolutely necessary. Afgrachmana, but why? If it means Kabbalah Sadam, says the Gemara, did the Torah use the word halacha v'krivai? The ksiv, because the pasuk says regarding the parts of the carbon oil, that the pasuk says v'kerv v'krayim yichas b'mayim v'kri v'akoyna v'sakov v'ikdom v'zbeicha v'amamar, what does this refer to? Zu halachas avaram l'kevis. That there talks about the carrying of the parts of the carbon to the ramp of the mizbeach. Lememra, the halacha le'tifka m'kal kabbalah, to teach us that halacha and Kabbalah are both considered avoidas. And that's what our Mishnah meant to say, that the halacha sadam, even though it's not always absolutely essential, as we just explained, and even though the pasuk v'kriva really, we're saying, speaks about Kabbalah sadam, halacha is also considered an avoida. The Mishnah continued saying that taharis are a halacha that are not explicit in the Torah. Yesh lo mamashi yismuchu. So again, ask the Gemara, Mechtech Sivan, aren't the halacha of Tumat Tahara explicit in the Torah? Answers the Gemara, Le'nitzcha, what was meant to teach us was sheer mikvah. The sheer of a mikvah, the like siva. How much is a mikvah? That the Torah speaks about with somebody whose tamei has to go to the mikvah. And the definition of a mikvah is a place where the water is gathered together. And it may not be mei shuvim, water that you gathered and then put into a vessel and poured into the mikvah. What is the minimum shear of a mikvah? The Tanya, the pasuk says, Vish, kiseitz men eshech v'zera, v'rochatz b'sorei b'mayim. What does that mean, b'mayim? What type of mikvah? What type of water b'may mikvah? Es kol b'sorei, how much water does that have to have? Mayim shall kol gufa oil b'hem. Enough water that will cover the entire body. Kamehim, how much water is that? Amal, amma barum shalosh amas. The amount of water that fills up an area of an amma by an amma in the width by the height of three amas. The shir hachachamim and Chazal established that the shir of a mikvah is a boim saw. There's a very interesting machloikus rishonim. Here we're saying two different things. On one hand, we're saying that the shir of a mikvah is 40 saw. On the other hand, the halach is that whatever you're putting into the mikvah, will be covered by water. So let's say you have a very small person, or you have a very small object that you're looking to put into the mikvah, that you don't need 40 saw to cover up that type of an object. Will there still be a minimum of requirement that a mikvah has to be 40 saw? The Rajba and the Rivash hold that once our Gemara taught us that the sheer mikvah is mem saw, then in all circumstances, that is the minimum sheer of a mikvah, no matter how small the object you're immersing is. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam says that our Gemara means to say that that's the size of a mikvah for average human being. But if you're being toivel something much larger, or you're being toivel something much smaller, then the shear will not midaraisa. Of course, midrabban and the Rambam, of course, will agree that a mikvah always has to be memsa, would not necessarily be that amount. It's also interesting that the Gemara, when it's determining that the shear of a mikvah is memsa, says mayim shakal gufa oil behem. So Mefarshim asked, shouldn't the Gemara have used the word "ma'im shogol gufoy toivel behem"? That's the amount that the entire body could get immersed into. So the Mefarshim explained that the reason the Gemara uses the word "oila" is to teach us that what happens when a person goes to the mikvah. When a person goes to the mikvah, oila,
he becomes greater. He comes up in a madrega because till now he was tamei and now he's tahar. The Mishnah also said that tumas are something that yeshlam amash yismuchu. We have a remez in the Torah to rely on. And again, ask the Gemara when we learn this halacha. Mechtech sivin, aren't halach of tum and tahara explicit in the Torah? Answers the Gemara. Leinitzcha ella kadashim and asheretz like siva. What is the minimum amount the halach of a sheretz that it gives off tuma? It has to have the size of a dash of a bean. The Tanya, the pasuk says, ella tumem lechem b'chol asheretz kol anegei behem. But Moisam Yitman Erev. If somebody touches one of the Shmoina Shrotzim, which are Tomei, he will be Tomei until the evening. So the Torah says Behem. Behem seems to mean Yachma Kulon, that you're only Tomei if you came in contact with the entire Sheretz. Tamaloimer. But there's another pasuk that says the Chol Shiipa Lamehem, but Moisam Yitma. Even part of the Sheretz gives off Tuma. So Yochum Mektosan. So it means that even the smallest amount of the sheretz has the ability to give off tuma. Tamaloimer says the Gemara, but the pasuk just said behem. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? On one hand, it says bohem haketzad. Bohem seems to indicate that you have to have the whole sheretz. On the other hand, it says mehem, even partial. Says the Braisa that the psukim are coming to teach us, that you're holding that much on the sheretz, that it's enough, that it's like a smaller sheretz, which is what? The shir chum b'gadasha. Chazal determined that the smallest sheretz is the size of a dasha. Shukain chaymit, which is one of the shmoni shrotzim, tchilasoi b'adasha. When it's first born, it's entirely the size of an adasha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the shear is kznav halta, the tail of a halta. Because, as the Rishonim explain, the halta, when you cut its tail off, the tail still keeps on moving. So since we see that the tail keeps on moving even after it's cut off, so it obviously has some life to it. And since it has some life to it, and now we're saying that the shear is determined by life, that's why that's the shear of a minimum shear of a sheretz to give tumah, and that's a halacha that's not stated explicitly in the Torah, and that's what our Mishnah alluded to. Arayas, we learned that arayas are also something that's not explicit in the Torah. But ask the Gemara, the halachas of arayas, michtav ksivin, are quite explicit in the Torah. What are we saying that arayas we only have to learn from psukim the Torah? Answers the Gemara like Nitzcha, Lebitay Menusasai, that somebody violated a woman and they had a daughter, and that he may not have relations with that daughter, and the like Siva, that the Torah doesn't say that halacha explicitly. So the Gemara explains how we indeed know that Bitay Menusasai is an Erva. The Torah says, Ervas Ish Ubita Lai Sagala, as Basbana. This pasuk is teaching us that one may not have relations with the daughter of a woman to whom you are married, or nor to her granddaughter. Then there's another pasuk that says, "Eves bas pincha bas pitcha lo sigala avoschen kevoschen heino." This pasuk is teaching us that one may not have relations with anyone who is your granddaughter, even if she's a granddaughter, not from a wife. She's a granddaughter from a woman who you violated. Dama Rava, and Rava takes this psukim and teaches us, Rava Amali Rav Yitzchak Badima, Asya Heina Heina. The first pasuk that speaks about relations with your wife's descendants, Sheshara Heina, and the pasuk that speaks about the woman who you violated's daughter, Kervosra Heina. So the pasuk uses the word Heina in both cases, we learn Gzeir Shova. And we learn from here that just like by the woman that you married, you may not have relations with her grandchildren or granddaughters, so too the woman that you violated, you're not allowed to have relations with the granddaughter. And then, that there's a chi of Sreifa for having such relations, we learn Zima Zima. So just like So we learn that just like by your woman whom you're married to, you can't have relations with your daughter, with her daughter or granddaughter, so too by the woman who you violated, you may not have relations with your daughter, even though her mother is not your wife. Her mother's the woman that you violated, or with that, with your grandchildren, your granddaughters that were born through having violated a woman. And that's what we learned through the Gzeirah Shavah, and that's what the Mishnah meant when we said that arayos are not explicit. So of course the obvious question is, if the Torah says that the granddaughters that you have from the woman that you violated are also to you, so certainly we learn with a Kal V'chomer that the daughter, your daughter, who was born to you from the woman that you violated, is a woman that is also, that is a woman that's also to you. Why do we need to have a Gzeirah Shavah? So the answer the Rishonim explain is that often in Shas we learn Emas Hirim Min Adin and Ein Unshim Min Adin. Even though a Kal V'chomer is a very strong method of learning halacha, of learning in Shas, we can't establish a lav, nor can we establish a punishment for a lav solely based on a Kal V'chomer. So even though there's a very valid Kal V'chomer that should result, that the daughter of a woman that you violated, your daughter from the woman you violated, is Asur, we can't rely on a Kal V'chomer. But what the Gemara is saying is, we have this Gzeirah Shavah to teach us that she's Asur, and not only do we have the Gzeirah Shavah to teach us that she's Asur, but we also have the Gzeirah Shavah to teach us that the punishment for having relations with her is Sreifa. So we learned in the Mishnah that Dine Mamanus, Avoidus, Kabanus, Taharis, Tumas, Arayus, are Hen Hen Gufe Torah. Ask the Gemara, Hani In, are only these halachas Gufe Torah, the main part of the Torah? Hanach, everything else that was mentioned, Loi, says Gemara, Ela, Ema, everything that we've learned in our Mishnah that were halachas that are not explicit are all in the category Hein V'Hein. All the various subjects that were discussed in our Mishnah are all Gufei Torah, are critical elements of the Torah. Harun Lach HaKol Chayovim, Harun Lach HaKol Chayovim, Harun Lach HaKol Chayovim. The previous Mishnah just taught us about Hilchas Arayos. So our Gemara continues to this Mishnah, and then the Gemara talks about learning and how to learn different subjects of the Torah. And of course, the Rishonim already asked, wouldn't it make sense that this Mishnah should be a continuation of the previous Mishnah? Because as we just said, it's a continuation of what we discussed, a Gufei Torah. Why is it a new, not only a new Mishnah, but it's a new Perek? So they respond that since the last words of this Mishnah, as we're going to soon learn, Akash Lo Chosa Kvay Kanai, Roasi Lo Shleba Lo Olam, very sharp words. We did not want to end the perek, the mishnayos of the first perek, with such a very strong statement. And therefore, this mishnah was placed as the first mishnah of the new perek, and therefore it's not going to be the last words of a perek to end in a perek on such a sharp note. It says the mishnah, Ein darshim b'arayis b'shloisha. We don't learn hilchos arayis with three people. The Rav Tzaddik explains that these halachas that we're speaking about, that we can't have just three people, and the Gemara will explain why Mitzvah Shem, when we're learning Hilchos Arayos, is only when it's being done with a back and forth. But if it's not being taught in a back and forth, if it's just being taught straight, these are the halachas, no questions and answers, these halachas, then this halacha wouldn't apply. Moreover, there are paiskim that suggest that this is only halacha when it's being taught in a shir with a give and take. But if you're writing a sefer, and then the sefer becomes public, there we don't have this concern. So again, says the Mishnah, Ein darshan barayis b'shloisha, v'loi b'meisa b'reishis. Discussing the Masa B'reishis, what was discussed as the world was created. Also, Rashi explains that Masa B'reishis means what was created at the beginning of the world. Tosfos says the Masa B'reishis means the Shem Shemem Beis Oisius. There's a Shem Hashem that's made up of 42 letters. And here too, the Mefarshim explain that what is meant is not saying the Shem Hashem, saying that there is such a Shem Hashem, but explaining or going into the depths of that may not be done even just with two individuals, the Rebbe and the Talmud. V'loi b'masa makova. The Pasuk in Yecheskel speaks about the masa makova, very esoteric items that are difficult for us to understand, and therefore the masa makova should not be taught b'yochid. Elam ker ha'yichacham, who's the only student that we may teach such halachas to? If the student is a chacham, umevin midatoy, and is competent to understand all of these difficult subjects. But the student is not on that level, don't teach them this Torah. Says the Mishnah, whoever tries to analyze the following four subjects, Rosiloi Kiloi Bailoilam. So Rashi explains Rosiloi means Royloi. It would have been better that it shouldn't have been created. Others say Rosi means that Rosi is a Rachmanis. We have Rachmanis in this person if he's learning these types of subject which he ought not to be learning. So again, Kalam Stakab Abadvarim, Rosi Loi Kiloi Bailoilam, Malamala, what is above the Chayos? We just mentioned the Masim Rekova. The Pasuk speaks about in Shemayim the types of Malachim who are called Chayos, the Chayos HaKodesh, trying to understand what's above them. Ma Lamata, what's below the earth. Ma Lefnim, what is on the east side of the world, what is past the east side. Ma L'Acher, and what is past the west side of the world. Koshloi Chos Akvay Kamay, somebody doesn't have the proper covered for the Shem Hashem, for Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rosi Lo Shle Balaylam. In other words, a person tries to try to understand something that is beyond his comprehension, would be better not to come to this world. It shows a lack of Kvayit HaShemayim. Says, ask the Gemara, Amrit Bereisha, we began the Mishnah by saying, V'loi B'ma Kavah B'yechad, that we're not allowed to teach Masi Makavah to a single individual. V'hada Amrit, and then our very Mishnah teaches us, Elam ker hayachachem umevi midatoi. So we are allowed to teach it, seems to teach us our Mishnah. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah? Says the Gemara Hakam. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Ein darshin b'arayis l'shloisha. We're not allowed to teach Hilchas Arayis to three Talmidim, exclusive of the Rebbe. V'loi b'masa b'reishis l'shnayim. And we're not allowed to teach the Ma'is Bereshis to two Talmidim exclusive at the Rebbe, V'loi b'makav liyachid, nor may we teach the Ma'is makav to one Talmud, unless that one Talmud that we're teaching is Chacham Mevi Midatoi. Says the Gemara, Ein Darshim Barayis B'Shloisha, so as we've been learning, we're not allowed to teach two people, at the three Talmidim at the same time, Hilchos Arayis. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what is the reason for this halacha? Ilema, if we're going to say, because the pasuk that in the Parshas Arayis says, ish ish akol sheh besaroi le'sikvu l'galas erva, ish ish trei, the pasuk is saying two, sheh besaroi chad, omer rachmona, and the Torah says when you have the total of three people that we just identified, le'sikvu l'galas erva, then that's what the Torah is teaching us, that when you have a group of three people, you shouldn't be learning these halachas. Elamat, if that's the way we're going to learn pshat in this type of pasuk, the pasuk when it speaks about the ksiv, ish ish ki kala hakov, the nosach chatoi. So we're going to say, or the pasuk that says, ish ish ashitim zara lamelech, are we going to say similarly, hachanami, that you can't teach it to three people? Ela hanimi boile, those psukim that say, ish ish, are needed to tell us, the rabbis is anochrim, that even non-Jews, Mesharim HaBrich Hashem, may not curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Avodah Zarah Kisrael, and they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah with Moilach, Hainami. So that's the same thing when we speak about Arayis. Mibayle, L'Rabbis HaNachrim, Shemesharim HaArayis Kisrael, that halachas of Arayis apply to Jews and Goyim equally. So of course, not all of the halachas are identical, but many of the halachas are identical. El midik siv, v'shmartim es mishmarti. The pasuk by Arayis says, V'shmatim smishmati l'vilti asois b'chukus ha-toevus. So we learn v'shmatim is trey, mishmati is chad, amrachman l'vilti asois b'chukus ha-toevus. Don't teach these subjects to three people. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Elamata d'ksiv v'shmatim is a Shabbos. The pasuk when it speaks about Shabbos also says v'shmatim is a Shabbos. The pasuk says by Pesach u'shmatim is a matzos. The pasuk says u'shmatim is a shmeres hakodesh hachinami. Will we learn that we're not allowed to teach these subjects to more than two people? Elamar Rashi mai ein darshan b'rayis b'shloisha. What does that mean? Ein darshan b'sisrei alayis. The halachas and arayis that are not explicit, as we just discussed in different cases. And there are certain halachas that are halachas that we don't want to publicize. Certain cases where the Torah says something, where something is usur, but it's not explicit, and we're going to make a mistake in understanding it. So there are a number of examples I saw. One is where you're not allowed to marry two sisters. And we know Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. So that's something that you should avoid teaching to a large group because people are not going to understand. Another halacha I saw is that the halacha is that in certain cases, the kedushin is not typhus. You marry a woman, but it's not considered a halachic marriage. Now, if you're going to tell Amaratzim about this, they may go have relations with those type of women. So we avoid teaching these halachas. So I saw that the Aguda quotes the Ravya that this concept was only in the time of the Tanoim and the Meroim, where the halachas were not committed. It was all Torah Shebapeh. But now that we have Torah Shebapeh and the Mishnayos and the Gemara tell us all these halachas explicitly, we're allowed to teach all halachas. Others explain what the Daki Moshe explains, that what our Mishnah, what our Gemara means to say is that we shouldn't explain arayas api Kabbalah. There are Kabbalistic reasonings between many of these Isurim, but we shouldn't learn it in that fashion. We should learn as the halacha teaches us, and not because if you're going to learn it that way, you may come to make mistakes and think that things are mutter that are also vice versa. My Tama, so why are three people an issue? Svaru. Because Beitrei Kiyasvi Kamei Rebbeyu, when you have two students in front of the Rebbe, Chad Shokvatar Bahadi Rebbe, one is learning with the Rebbe, Chad Shokvatar Bahadi Rebbe, one is talking and is learning together with the Rebbe, Vidoch Matzli Udni L'Gemara, and the other one has nothing else to do at that time other than to learn. So since he has nothing else to do at that time other to learn, that's why everybody will pay. But when you have klasa, when you have three students, chad shakl v'tar b'hadi Rebbe, one is learning with the Rebbe, v'anach trei shakl v'tar b'hadi, and the other two are learning with each other. V'lo yodah b'akamai Rebbeyu, since they're talking to each other, they're not listening to what the Rebbe says. V'asal amishya sur b'rayis, and because they don't pay attention to everything the Rebbe says, they may come to say something which is asur is mutter. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, so that concern should exist, call a Tyranami everywhere. Answers the Gemara, Arayas Shani. Arayas is different. Dama Mar, the Gemara says, Masech Tamakas, the Mishnah says, Masech Tamakas, Davchav Gimel Amabeis, Gezel of Arayas Nafshe Mechamdason, people have a natural desire to do these Averis, and that's why people are going to be quick to try to say something which is osur is mutter, and we have to be very careful. Says the Gemara, if that's the concern, yachal gezel nami. So when we speak about halacha of gzela, the halacha ought to be the same, that we should never be allowed to teach these halachas to three students for the reason that we just gave. Answers the Gemara. Arayas, when we speak about a person's desire with arayas, that desire exists, bein b'fanav, bein shloi b'fanav. Whether there's a situation in front of him or not, that is the person's nature. Nafesh Yitzrei, there's a big Yetzirah, and we have to be careful not to make any mistakes. Gezel, when we speak about Gezel, b'fanav, when you have something in front of you that doesn't belong to you, there are people that have a Yetzirah to steal, Nafesh Yitzrei. But if there's nothing to steal, when you're sitting in the yeshiva learning by your Rebbe, Shalai v'fonav, and your Rebbe's just teaching Hilchos Gezel, and there's nothing in front of you to steal, le'nafesh yitzrei, and therefore, there's no concern to teach it to three people, and even if two of the students will be speaking to each other and not paying attention to everything the Rebbe says, we don't need to be concerned that somebody's going to use that and make a mistake.